But I'm sure you can do nothing bad.
Okay. Welcome everybody back to the Matzah Yom Kippur Kollel. We've been, Rosh Hashem, we've been doing this for several years. It's been a beautiful, beautiful end of Yom Kippur. So the Shavuot quotes the proper custom is to try to begin building the sukkah ready tonight. So for some people, it's not so practical, ourselves included. So we decided a couple of years ago to at least learn some of the sugyas, because Baruch Hashem, we mechashiv it as if we started actually literally start to schlep the boards out. So we'll try to put a sugya that's related to the ideas of building a sukkah, and try to speak a little bit some related in Yana Diyayma. There are several halachot b'Moshe Mesinai that are involved in the building of the walls of a sukkah. The Gemara has a machlokes in the beginning of the first parak of Maseches Sukkah about one particular detail of the building of a sukkah, which is actually a machlokes whether it's a pure halacha b'Moshe Sinai or not. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says that everybody agrees that the minimum size of a wall of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. It's not a big surprise. That's the minimum size for all of mechitzas in other areas of halacha. Shabbos, Erevin. So that's always considered to be the minimum size of a mechitza. So too, for the funnest of a sukkah, the minimum size is 10 tefachim. So the Gemara raises the question, how does Chazal know this? Where did this come from? If the minimum size of a sukkah, the minimum size for an Erev is 10 tefachim. So the Gemara quotes machlokes of Tanoim. There was never a machlokes that the din is true. There was only machlekes as to what the source of the din is. So one day in the Gemara says that it was pure halacha b'Moshe Mesinai. Whenever the Gemara uses the phrase halacha b'Moshe Mesinai, so the Rambam writes that means is that there's no mokra in the Torah Shebichsav b'chlal. You can look from today till tomorrow, you won't find the source of the Torah Shebichsav. So there's one ta'ana of the opinion that that's the din of Ten Tefachim. Ten Tefachim is pure Torah Shebichsav. You cannot find any remez, any hint, any mashu in the Torah Shebichsav. And then the Gemara quotes another opinion that says, no, that it's not pure halacha b'Moshe Mesinai. It's in the Chumash itself. You need the Torah Shebapeh to extract it. Because we probably wouldn't have figured it out on our own, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Torah Shebichsav. You got to really, really work hard to figure it out. Where in the world is anything in the Torah Shebichsav about the size of 10 tefachim? I told you, you have to work really hard. The Tanaim worked really hard. So one possible observation is from the phrase in Parshas Truma, when the Torah speaks about the Kruvim, so Sochim Chanfeim Lachapiris, that the Torah refers to the Kruvim as being Seichich. So if you do a little bit of a calculation in terms of the size of the Yaron and the size of the Kruvim and the Eichel, the whole story, it comes out, at least the one calculation, it comes out to be 10 Tefachim. So you see that the Torah calls the Loshen Sochim Chanfeim, a Loshen of Schach, refers to the Shia of 10 Tefachim. So that's one time. So again, everybody agrees the din is that a Mechitz has to be 10 Tefachim, whether or not it's pure Loch Moshe Mesinai with no remez in the Torah Shebichsav, or whether there's some Shaykhahs Torah Shebichsav, that's the Machlokes. But I hope everybody agrees is the basic halacha. Then the Gemara goes on and says, but there are certain dinim in the building of the walls of a sukkah that are for sure halacha Moshe Sinai, that for sure you can look mamash from today till tomorrow, you will never ever find any remez whatsoever. And one of those is the din of lavud. The Mishnayos tell us that there's halacha Moshe Mesinai, both in terms of Shabbos and in terms of Erev, in terms of Sukkah, that if you have breaks in a wall of less than three tefachim, so we assume that that doesn't, it's all considered to be as if it's all mechuba yachad. So let's say, for example, the Mishnah, the first Berach of Erev, says if you're building an Erev, so you want to surround an area with walls. In order to carry, you have to surround the area with walls. So the Mishnah says, let's say you have a wall, you have a fence, but the fence has breaches in the middle of it. So it's got a pole over here that got a little break, a pole over here, a little break all the way around. So there is a halacha Moshe Mesinai that it has to be omed ruba laparot. It has to be more standing than breaks. And then we can assume that whatever the breaks are, we ignore the breaks. But deraisa, as long as you have omed ruba laparot, it's okay. Then the Mishnah also says that each break cannot be more than 10 amas. If you have a break that's more than 10 amas, that's already a problem, even if you have omed ruba laparot. So comes the Gemara and says, that comes the Mishnah and says, what if you have a lot of breaks, and you have, the emes says you have more breaks than you have wool, but the breaks are, each one is fairly small, you have one very, very thin pole, then you have a 2.5 break, then a little thin pole, then a 2.5 break, the whole way around. So if you add up the poles, you have less than rov. Alpha pichain, since it's lava, so lava teaches us that if it's less than three tefachim, it's as if the mamish touching, as if the whole area is considered to be connected to one another. So that din that appears in Hilchas Erevin appears in Hilchas Sukkah as well, and we use it all the time. We mamish invoke that principle of lava, mamish every year in sukkahs. Many sukkahs are built based on some kind of application of the principle of lava. So one of the applications of lava is within the walls of the sukkah itself. You can use lava accomplish for the schach, for the walls, you can use a lot of different ways. And one of the ways to use lavud in the walls of the sukkah is as follows. Just as in Uchas Eirvin, if you have a pole, then a break, pole, break, pole, break, pole, break, so that's considered to be like the whole thing is there. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Eirvin, that works not only if it's like this, pole, break, pole, break, but what if you have, let's say you have a rod or something like this, then you have a break going up, then you have a rod, then a break, then a rod, then a break, then a rod. That's also considered to be lavud. As long as it's less than three tvachim, so that doesn't matter each way. You can have either what's called either b'shasi b'erev, either the walls are standing up rods or they're going across strings. Either one of them is okay as long as you're invoking the principle of lavud. So many sukkahs end up using lavud in the following sense. Lavud is okay. There's nothing wrong with using lavud. It's pashas. It's perfectly okay. There is a Magen Avram that claims, as it's a chiddush exactly where he got it from, based on a Tosfos, not sure where Tosfos got it from, but the Magen Avram has this idea that when you use lavud, so lavud has what's called in halacha like a mechitza grua. It means it's a mechitza, but it's not the best mechitza in the world, and therefore it should only be used if it surrounds the sukkah on all four sides. Normally the Mishnah says in the beginning of sukkah that a sukkah which has three walls to it is perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Pashas is it's kosher even lechatchila. There's a Taisus in Rosh Hashanah that has a tremendous chiddush. Taisus writes that they think that lechatchila sukkah should have four walls. Why? Because that's more of teish for kein taduru. That's more of a way a person lives in. So it's a chiddush gavur. It doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch, but Taisus is such a chiddush that lechatchila sukkah should have four walls. So the Magen Avraham says that even though we paskin that a three wall sukkah is perfectly good and pashas is even good lechatchila, the Magen Avraham says if it's made out of walls that are only based on lavud, so then maybe you shouldn't do that. If it's such a shvacha, the walls are half fallen apart anyway. They're only lavud thicker walls anyway. So then they should be makif the entire sukkah. So again, it's a chiddush exactly where that comes from. Pashas is not a din deraisa. It could be a din deraisa. A din deraisa, either it is lavud, it's not lavud. So some kind of a chumrah derabanan, very very difficult to understand exactly what it's based on. So it's based on that Magen Avraham that some have the following practice. Some sukkahs rely on lavud. Well, nobody's really building sukkahs based on lavud today. You know, it's going to be such a silly sukkah. You're going to have a wall, you're going to have a break, a wall break, wall break. Animals are going to come in. It's going to be cold, it's going to be windy. No one's going to build a sukkah like that. But what some people like to do is as follows. So as we all know, we spoke about this many times. We're not going to talk about it too much this year. But maybe less than show and tell one of these days. But we do have a first some that there's a big question in the Gemara that we've shown him about if you have a sukkah where the walls move in the wind. So the Gemara says if you have a mechitza sheni chalam of shnei ruach, so that's not considered to be a mechitza, and the whole sukkah pasha says is no good. The pasha tvarim is that's mamish posel min haTorah. It's not eni chalam of shnei ruach. So the Chazanish suggests that what that means is that if the wind would come, it'll mamish knock the sukkah down onto the ground. So even though right now it's not windy. So right now I would think it's okay, but by tomorrow it's going to get to be a normal wind, the Ruch Mitzuya. If a hurricane comes and knocks it down, that's not my problem. I mean, it's going to be my problem if I'm sitting in it, but that's not my problem. But I have to be concerned with the Ruch Mitzuya. So says the Chazon Ish, if there's going to be a Ruch Mitzuya that's going to knock the sukkah down the gamri, or it's going to lift the wall so far off the ground that there's going to be more than three tefachim off the ground, it's going to ruin the sukkah to the point where the sukkah is also. So the chiddush of that sukkah is that even though right now it's not a very, very nice day, it's not so breezy outside, the sukkah is still possible the way it is. But says the Chazon Ish, if you have a sukkah that it's not going to fall down, it's not going anywhere, it's just swaying, it's just moving in the wind. So the Chazon Ish says, so what? So it's moving in the wind, so big deal. So what's the big deal? It's kosher even though it's moving in the wind. That's a chiddush of the Chazon Ish. He claims there are rishonim who say like that. And other poskim are not so sure if that's true. Other poskim say that maybe it's a problem. Just the fact that the walls are stop moving, maybe that in of itself is considered to be a problem. So that was the issue behind the canvas sukkahs. That's why some poskim weren't so excited about the canvas sukkahs. So the last couple of years, what they came up with is the famous the gartels, the famous straps on the sukkah. So the straps on the sukkah was to make the sukkah kosher l'choladeis. It means that even according to the Machmir, even according to those who wanted to argue that the sukkah that sways is potentially a problem, so if you put very, very tight straps, so the straps don't move. It means maybe the canvas moves a little bit, but the straps are pretty tight, so the straps aren't going anywhere, so then you can basically make believe up your halacha that the whole sukkah isn't there. I mean, forget about the canvas. Make believe the sukkah's not there. I'm not saying you get a refund on the canvas, but maybe it's as if the canvas isn't there. So at least you have the straps. So the sukkah's kosher, mitam the straps itself. And that, then you have to just be careful that it's lovin'.
Right. I thought the straps, though, were to make the gap between the poles less than... Does it hold it down?
No. The straps are there, that the straps themselves become the wall. That becomes the wall. So you have to be careful that the straps are within three tefachim of one another. Usually that's the way they're made. It's in such a way. So I was wondering that according to this Magen Avram, that you're not really supposed to rely on love unless you have a four-wall sukkah. So I noticed that the gartel sukkahs, they only make the gartels on three sides. They don't make it on the, I guess it's very, very difficult to make it because you want to be able to walk in. You don't want to be able to walk over the straps. So those who don't want to follow this Magen Avram and want to say that, like, anyway, Minotaur, the whole thing is a chumr b'yalma, mikra din chazanesh, definitely yeshu milisma. Those who want to make sure that they have if they're already relying on lovelets, so they want to make sure at least we have a four-wall sukkah, so they have to come up with some kind of an eitzah to put on the fourth wall. So the fourth wall doesn't have to be the whole thing. The fourth wall will be seven tefachim wide. So hopefully, in the near future, we'll figure out something to burn the fourth wall. So we'll see.
We have to do it on the fourth up until where the door is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't understand what the big deal was. Why did they put the gantles on one of the poles? Yeah, I don't know why nobody thought of that. I don't know.
The fourth side.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a good answer, but I guess it wasn't so popular. Okay. Yeah, he used to. That was the old days. He used to. Maybe the gantle. Okay. Anyway, whatever it is, because that's where it comes from. So again, so those who are relying on Lovud, so it's based on this whole sugi that Lovud is really good. So Minotaur Lovud is for sure good, and maybe this chumra of Lovud on the fourth wall, maybe it's a chumra beyond. But then the Mishnah, the Gemara, gives other examples of invoking this halacha Moshem Sinai of Lovud. So the Mishnah says that let's say you have walls. So the walls 10 tefachim tall. The walls whatever. 10 feet tall, whatever it is. It's a pretty tall wall. And then the schach is really supposed to be resting on the wall. So what if the schach is not resting on the wall itself? What if the schach is a little bit off where the wall is? So then the Mishnah says, it depends. So hirchik es haschach gimel tvachim. If there's a break of more than three tvachim between where the wall is and where the schach starts, so there's no shaychas, there's no tziruf between the two. So the halacha is you need walls and you need schach. So here I got half a sukkah with walls and no schach and another sukkah with schach and a wall. So neither one of them is good. So there has to be a connection between the two. So what's considered to be a connection? So that's what the halacha Moshe Mishnah says. As long as it's within three tvachim from the edge of the wall, that's also okay. Then the Gemara has a further shayla about what if you have little breaks in the middle of the sukkah. What's the din if you have, I have walls and I have schach, but then I have air spaces that are going somewhere in the middle of the sukkah. Does that pose a problem or not? So the Gemara says that it depends how wide the air spaces are. So if the air spaces are less than three tefachim, then it's okay, then it's fine, then the sukkah is still kosher. If the air spaces are more than three tefachim wide, that's a problem. That breaks up the continuity of the sukkah. So now, in theory, if I have a four-wall sukkah, it's no big deal. If I have a four-wall sukkah and I have an airspace going right across the middle of the sukkah, so just make believe I have two different sukkahs. I have each sukkah has three walls, I'm home free. But if I only have a three-wall sukkah and the airspace is going down the middle, so then I have two walls. I have two walls. Each one has some schach, but there's no connection between the two. Both of the sukkahs are possible. So you have to make sure that you don't have airspaces in more than three tefachim. Nobody today has airspaces so big. But the Gemara says, Mishnah says a chiddush, that let's say you have a sukkah that has a very small airspace, but and it's not going to disqualify the sukkah, but the Mishnah says, Ein yishedim tachtav. But you're not allowed to sleep under that. You're not allowed to eat under that airspace itself. So what kind of din is that? I said the sukkah is still kosher. So if you want to sit in the other end of the sukkah, that's okay. But under that spot itself, so somehow that's not going to work. So what exactly does that mean? So that's what the Ramah writes, that ein lecha sukkah she'ein lo nekovim. Every sukkah has cracks in it. You throw down branches on top of the sukkah, so there are always inevitably going to be air spaces there. So forget it. The sukkah just has to be, tzitzim rubicham, so there's have to be so much schach on it. How in the world are you ever going to build a sukkah which doesn't have air spaces in it? So that's what the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim, that Chazal meant that you can't sit under an airspace. It's got to be a pretty big airspace. It has to be either a space that's going mamish across the entire side of the sukkah, or it's something that's so big that you can somehow stick your head in. So it's not quite three tefachim, a small head. It's not quite three tefachim big, but you can mamish stick your head under it. So that's something. You just have a little bit of spots here and there. That's a garnish. So unless you have airspace that's going halacha pnei kula, if you have a line of air that's going across the entire sukkah, so then the Ramah says you should be careful about that. It's based on that Ramah that some have a chumrah that they throw up the poles the other direction. So if you have all your schach in one direction and you have two poles thrown in the other direction, distance, then by definition, you'll never get an airspace across the town. Remember when I was a teenager, so we used to have a sukkah in my parents in an apartment building, so we used to share with many, many people in our building, the other building. So there was a fellow there who was a Talmud of Aaron Soloveitchik. So one of the he was the son of one of the families there. So he would always come home from Chicago for sukkahs. So he was the first one who introduced me to that chumrah. He used to put two pieces of bamboo going across the other end. So I think I asked him at one time, why do we need two? What's wrong with one? So he said, because one may fall off, so that way at least you have a second one. It sounds like the first Mishnah in Yuma. You have to make sure there's another kagel just in case. Then you can put another two fall off, three fall off. You have to put a lot of poles. No, survive. So the Maisa, this din of Lavud. So we invoke Lavud all the time. We invoke Lavud in the walls. We invoke Lavud around, in the sides, all around. We always play around with this issue of Lavud. Then the Gemara has another halacha, Moshe Mishnah, called Good Asik. So the Gemara says also, you would never ever figure this out. If you try to learn Chumash from today till tomorrow, you'd never in a million years figure this out. There's a halacha, Moshe Mishnah, in Hilchas Sukkah, called Good Asik. That means that once you have a wall, so then that wall goes all the way up. As long as the wall is 10 tefachim tall, then we can view the walls going Mamashad L'Shemayim. What would that mean? So let's say I build a wall like this, and I put the schach over here. So the schach is 10 feet above where the wall ends. So it's less than 1 3 tefachim above where the wall ends. If you would have asked me, I would have said, that's no good. There's no shaykh, there's no tzirif, no connection between the top of the wall and the schach. So that's what the Mishnah says. No, that's also okay. That as long as you have a direct line going up from the wall all the way up to the schach, so then you're home free. Then there's nothing to worry about. There's good asik mechitza. And then we can make believe that the mechitza goes all the way up the shemayim. The Gemara has a din in the first parak of Maseches Erevim that may be related to this, it may not be, depending on who you ask. There's a din in Hilchos Turas HaPesach, when you build an Erev, so you have to have two poles, and then you have to have a wire going across the top of the poles. So the Gemara says that the wire doesn't have to touch the poles. The wire could be suspended above the poles. It could be 10 feet up in the air. It doesn't make a difference as long as it's directly over the poles. So that's a good smachalik. Well, we pass Hilchos Ein Tzrichin Liga. So the question is that also based on Gud Asik? That's what some say. Some say it's like an extension of Gud Asik. Another question, is that really considered to be Gud Asik? But that's not a regular mechitza. It's a pesach. It's a little bit different. So that's a question, what exactly that din is based on. But Lamai said din is true. So when it comes to Hilchos Mechitzas, so the din is, as long as you have a 10 tefachim wall, and now you have schach running over the edge of the wall, so then you're home free. So now the question becomes, what if the schach is not resting directly above where the wall ends? What if it's less than 3 tefachim away from where the wall ends? So now, if you think about it, now you have to start to combine different halachim Moshe Mishnah. So you got to start adding 1 and 1 equals 2. So I have to, first of all, I have to extend this wall to the top. That's called good asik. And then I have to say, well, good asik, but I didn't get to where I want to get to. Then I got to throw in love it for good luck also. So can I do that? Do I have a right to combine 2 halachim Moshe Mishnah at one shot? I'm going to use good asik to get me up, and then it's just like drawing make-believe lines. I'm going to draw a good asik line to go up, and then I'm going to draw a lovad line over less than 3 tefachim. Can I do that or not? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that it's a double pasha that you can do that. Shulchan Aruch says, beferish, nobody argues, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Tash, Magen Avraham, nobody raises a question about the permissibility of this. Even though it's not beferish in the Gemara, but Shulchan Aruch assumes this, calls from the Rishonim, the Torah, whatever, calls from the Rishonim, that's a double pasha that this is okay. That's how we pass in the halacha. Notwithstanding what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kivega raises a question about this. Rabbi Kivega says he's not exactly sure why this is true. He claims that there are some Rishonim who disagree. He claims there are some Rishonim who hold that you can combine 2 halacha Moshe Mishnayos in the same spot. It means you can't first draw your make-believe lines one way, even one make-believe line per customer, per wall. So if you're already drawing a good asik, then you can't combine that together with a lovelot. So Kivega just raises a ha'ara, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's okay, but he says he's not so convinced that all the Rishon holds.
Right.
Why in the world do you think they can? Yeah, I don't know. There are some Rishonim who say something that sounds like that a little bit, and Rabbi Kivega thinks that they would have a problem with such a sukkah, but it doesn't say it. No Rishon says it mamish beferish. So Rabbi Kivega is reading in certain Rishonim that would be a problem. The Maisim, Shulchan Aruch, and the Raman, Shemura, regular conventional wisdom is that it's perfectly okay. I think a lot of people do this. People do it all the time.
Yeah,
No, well, there very often the schach is going over the gata. Right, if the schach is not going over the gata, then you're relying on one that it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not so bad to rely on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's how everyone passes. That's how we pass. Yeah.
What are the both?
What do you mean?
Meaning if you have three tefachim, less than three tefachim here, less than three tefachim here, could you use the same
tefachim
twice?
Oh, but if you don't need good asik.
Yeah,
I mean, according to Rekivega Shichot Torah, if you don't need good asik, if you just need, if you can use lovud, can you use lovud twice?
You're saying north south is good asik anyways. You would call that good asik within.
You need you need lovud.
You mean he's tiny. If you according to Shulchan Aruch, it's a meaningless question because according to Shulchan Aruch, Kivager, but Rabbi Kivager is showing him have a problem with using the same halacha mishnah twice, or not. I don't know. It would depend on very. You have a very good chance, depending on the size, you know this better than I do, the hypotenuse may be lovud alone. You may not even need to go a double lovud, depending on what the...
It's very close.
Right, it's very close, and the hypotenuse is going to be bigger, it's going to be too big.
Right.
X squared plus Y squared, but something or other squared, but something or other. What? Somebody's principle. Yeah, okay. Fun. Okay. You beat me already in that, okay.
There's no problem going over the other
rep. What?
Good options.
Right. As long as but the end of the good asik ends, it's got to be within three tefachim with the schach starts.
Like if you're overshooting, that's not.
I mean, the schach goes over the sukkah.
Yeah.
Because of the hay, you're going to go from ever. So the post came on the Ora that this idea that says in Shulchan Aruch a sukkah that lemaisa you can combine good asik together with the lovehood, that seems to be the pashas that dvarim. So how come that shouldn't work in Erevin also? Because Erevin, we said, you have a pole over here, now you have a wire going over here. So why does the wire have to go exactly over the pole? Why can't the wire go within three tefachim of wherever you draw a line up, wherever the pole hits? And as long as the wire is within three tefachim, you should be okay. What's the problem with that? That's what I would have said. In Vilchus Vayif,
it's a gap, so that's a different story.
That's a different, right. So that's what some say. So the Yerucha Shulchan, very strange. Rav Hashulchan writes that way. Rav Hashulchan writes here, that's the din. He says that when you build a Tosafot Pesach, as long as the wire goes within three tefachim of wherever the imaginary line is, that's okay. So nobody says that. All the other poskim disagree with that. So the question is, why do they disagree? So it could be they disagree because maybe the Tosafot Pesach is different. Somebody has got to look like a Tosafot Pesach. The inch has got to look differently. If the Rav Hashulchan would have been accepted by Halacha, it would have made life much, much easier for us to build Erev. One of the biggest problems of building an Erev is this problem, because the 90% of the Erev is already built. It's built with telephone poles. The only problem is that about half the poles are no good, because the way the poles are built is that very often the wire is running on the side of the pole. The thing is that the wire has to go above the pole. So many of the wires do go above the pole. Those wires are good. You don't have to touch them even, but about half the wires themselves don't go like that. So what they do is... Well, yes, that's what they do. So all the poles that aren't built properly, so then they, let's say here's the pole. So what they do is they'll stick a plastic or wood or something on the side of the pole, and that'll go underneath the wires. The way the old Erevin used to be built is that they would make a wooden piece and a piece of wood on the side of the telephone pole and hope for the best. It means hope that it's under the wire. So there are different opinions about what do you mean hope for the best. Either it is or it isn't. So Reb Moshe supposedly said that, you know, take a look, and if it looks like it's under the wire, that's good enough. I mean, the Torah wasn't given to scientists, it was given to the guys. So you take a look, it looks okay. So other folks can say, what do you mean it looks okay? It's not. It's an illusion. You'll never be able to see it. It's never going to be under. If you think it's under, for sure it's not under. It's totally, totally misleading. So that's other folks can say, no, it has to be mamash under. So how do you make it under? So they used to drop these plumb lines, all kind of bicep they used to do to try to make the Erevin work properly. So now in later years, what they started to do is they shoot the laser guns and they can remember see where exactly the wire is. So then you had others who said, listen, forget these games over here, forget with the laser guns, forget all this Mishigasim, just make the thing go all the way up to the top. So how do you get it's hard to work. It means you have to get a guy today. It used to be in the old days, take a little piece of wood, 40 inches tall, you bang it, and then you move to the next one. Now they got to go cherry picker every single one to go all the way to the top to make sure those who want to be Machman Erevin, then make sure that's totally underneath. So you go all the way to the top. So the problem is that the phone company is not particularly interested in having these big pieces of wood. It's bad enough when they're on the bottom, when they're going all the way to the top. in the olden days, when they couldn't figure out exactly how it was, then they would make very, very wide pieces of wood, because as long as you get part of it, so you see some old Erev, and you see these like tremendous pieces of wood on the sides of telephone poles. So the phone company's not too happy about that. So I remember several years ago, we were doing some, and I was still in Paramus, so we were doing some work on the Erev in Paramus. So we had it's always a good idea, when you do work on an Erev, it's always a good idea to make sure you have all your permits with you. Because when you get stopped, so you want to be able to show that you actually have some kind of what you're doing. So we found the permits were from, I don't think anybody here remembers, I think it was called Jersey Bell or something. It used to be a phone company. Jersey Bell, I think it's back from the 1970s or something. Jersey Bell, so they were the original ones who owned the phone line. They were eventually sold to AT&T, and whoever bought them along the way, different Gilgulim. So we had the original. We had the original star from that phone, for whatever it was. I don't think anyone from Jersey Bell was still alive anymore. Whatever it was worth. So the bottom line is the reason why we have all these issues with building the Erev is because we want to make sure that it's directly over the pole. So if the Aruch HaShulchan would have been right, and he had a good raya, if Aruch HaShulchan was not a pretty stark raya, if he would have been right, so then it wouldn't be such a big deal. As long as you're within three tefach, it would be okay. But for whatever reason, we don't accept that in Aruch HaShulchan and Pesach. So Chopan, we have a few halachim of Mishnah. We have Lovud, we had Ten Tefachim perhaps, we have Good Asik. Then there's a Machlekes HaTanoim within the halacha of Good Asik, whether you have the opposite halacha also. What if you have what's called Good Achis? What if you have a Mechitza Ten Tefachim, but it happens not to reach the ground? So what's wrong with that? So one Tana says, Biyo says, there's nothing wrong with that. He says, if you have a Mechitza Ten Tefachim that hits the ground, so then it can go, draw a line up to the Schach. And if you have a Mechitza that's being suspended, it's being hanging from the air or something, so it's being connected to something, but it doesn't hit the ground, so it's Good Achis. And the mechitza, as long as it's 10 tefachim of solid mechitza, then it goes down to the ground, and that would be okay. And we don't pass like that. We pass, and the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to have a break of more than 3 tefachim from the bottom of the mechitza until you hit the ground. Minor. Well, what's the difference? If good works, so why should one way be okay and one way not okay? So that's what the Gemara seems to explain. The reason is because when you have a mechitza that's suspended off the ground, it's called a mechitza tluya, so that's a mechitza shagdi and boikin ba. So what kind of a mechitza is that? You have little goats. Are breaking through the mechitza, even though there may not be goats walking around Bergenfield, but in theory the goats can be walking here. So a little goat can sneak under the mechitza. So the whole idea of a mechitza is to be a separation. So this is the shear in Uchas mechitza that if it can't serve as a separation for even the goats, so then this is us nishke in mechitza. I remember I was very excited when a couple of summers ago, so the house that we were staying in Beit Meir in Kollel, so our next door neighbors had some goats, and they had a fence between us and them, and the goats would sometimes get under the fence and over the fence. I was very, very tempted to measure the fence and see exactly how there was a break in the bottom of the fence. And I'm not sure whether it was logged or not, but Tachas the Gedim were definitely poking under the fence. Anyway, then there is another halacha b'Shem Sinai, which is pretty much the end of this group of halacha b'Shem Sinai. This is what's called Doifin Akuma. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Sukkah that let's say you have walls of a sukkah, the walls are gevaldik, and you have a schach. The problem is that you have schach posel. So you have schach posel, things which don't go on the ground, that or whatever it is, which are on the sides of the schach. So normally, that should be a problem. I mean, if there's no tzir, if you have schach posel on the edges of the sukkah, then there's no connection between the schach and the defunah. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara explains, there's a special halacha b'Shem Sinai that if the schach posel on the edges of the sukkah are less than dalat amos wide, so then we assume that they don't count, doesn't disqualify the sukkah, because it's called doifin akuma. We make believe that the walls of the sukkah kind of bend over, and the schach posel becomes like part of the walls, and therefore it doesn't break up the continuity of the sukkah. You can't sit under that part. If you're sitting under the schach posel, that's like sitting under the wall, so that's for sure no good. But it wouldn't ruin the sukkah. So we rely on a lot of sukkahs like that, where they have a 10 tefachim wall, then you have a little bit of, some people have ledges and other things around the edges of the sukkah, or some people have trees, some other stuff on the edges of the sukkah. So you're not going to sit at that part. You can declare that to be schach posel, but you can still be mitzdarev to schach kosher to the walls based on the halach moshinei of Doifin Akuma. So it's this sugya, Doifin Akuma, that the Rishonim have a machlokes, can you combine good asik together with Doifin Akuma? What if the wall doesn't get all the way up to the schach. It just gets up 10 tefachim. So some Rishonim say you can't combine the two. So that's where Rabbi Kivega derived this Shtichut Torah from. That according to those Rishonim, you can't combine two Halacha Mashim Sinas. That's a very lumdish shaila. Is that comparison correct or not? But upon him, this din of Dafna Kumu reminds us sometimes also. So you have four different Halacha Mashim Sinas that really govern everything we have to know pretty much about the making of the Mechitzas, the Tefanas for Sukkah. You have the din of Ten Tefachim, you have the din of Lovud, we have the din of Gurasik, and the din of Dafna Kumu. So hopefully we'll try to build a Sukkah as a caution. Days, and the Basukas will get a chance to talk a little bit about some of the denim, maybe Vishiva Basukas. Okay. Let's talk tomorrow morning, 7:15. Okay? What? Pitikra. Pitikra is, according to some, part of Gurah. Maybe the opposite of Gurah. Maybe a good Achis that for din.